Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Big honor. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Friartuck Miller.
And this is Back Talk. How many years have you and I lived with the Robin Hood legend?
I was enthralled when I was a kid with the Errol Flynn 1938 Robin Hood.
Yeah.
I just thought that was just the coolest movie. And then reading for my middle school class, Ivanhoe, and how surprised I was that Robin Hood was a character in Ivanhoe. Ivanhoe movie in the early 50s, really a good one with Robert Taylor's Ivanhoe and Joan Fontaine and a very young, fetching Elizabeth Taylor. And it was a minor character in that movie, but there's a Robin Hood in that.
Well, today we have a bleaker take on Robin Hood, the death of Robin Hood. Now, if that doesn't tell you.
Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, is he going to die in this one? And they were going to use that title back when Sean Connery played Robin Hood with Audrey Hepburn as Maid Marian in 1976. That was going to be the original title, The Death of Robin Hood. And they thought, no, that's going to be too much of a downer.
So sure.
They changed it to Robin and Marian.
Yeah. Now, this one stars Hugh Jackman. He interests me as a guy who's played many heroic roles. Well, this one is Robin Hood reflecting on his murderous life.
But not without remorse until near the end. Production value, I think, is superb. It gives you a much grimier, bleaker look, the Middle Ages of in England. And the first 45 minutes to an hour, man, it is arousing. Rip-roaring.
Yeah, it's a bloody business. Teaming him up with Little John again.
Yes.
Played by
Bill Skarsgård. Good God. That guy, and he was unrecognizable. But he's been, you know, so well known for movies like the latest Nosferatu and his take of Pennywise, the killer clown,
The
It movies.
So this is the great Skarsgård franchise, and he's doing well. In fact, I noticed as we were watching that you were somewhat gleeful that they recounted, for instance, how they met on the bridge.
Because what I loved about that, that was really a throwback to the Errol Flynn movie when they meet on the bridge. But the Skarsgård's Little John, at first I thought, did they pick the wrong Skarsgård with his beefier, bigger, you know, brother and dad or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And played in the Errol Flynn one by Alan Hale Sr., who he played Little John in the famous Douglas Fairbanks Robin Hood, 1922.
Oh my gosh, in The Death of Robin Hood. Yeah. What's in it for anyone to like, even younger than we are?
The younger crowd would love the bloody fight scenes at the beginning. You saw how I reacted when this little boy was running away, and Robin Hood shoots an arrow in his head. Yeah. And I think it came out his eyeball or what, went through the back of his head.
But I wondered, remember when they reprised that shot, and I wondered, what is this? Is this a dream sequence or what? No, it's the truth. And he shoots another a teenage girl.
He talks about how much that all the myths about him were just lies. And he certainly did not want to rob from the rich to give to the poor. And he was just a mean SOB.
At least as this take has it. It's moving into the period of contrition.
Yes.
One of the features that allows us to understand how he can make that transition is a very fetching Jodie Comer.
Yes,
Sister
like
Bridget. So he goes to a priory.
Yes.
And she's prioress. And she helps him through this dark period of his life.
Exactly. That they had a backstory there. But she decided to lead a life of service to Christ. And so she had like a bunch of orphans as well as some sick ones. And one of my favorite characters in the whole movie was, it looked like a mummy, the leper. Philosophical, brilliant leper who Robin really became friends with.
Sure, yeah.
And they talked about it, and the leper was trying to tell him, look, and he survives. He's gravely wounded. He's brought there by Little
John. Meaning Robin.
Robin Hood was gravely injured.
Right.
And he's nursed back to health, and the leper's telling him, you don't have to go back to your life of a serial killer. Stay with us here. You could find a good life here.
Well, what a director and writer, Michael Sarnowski. What I thought a really very smart move by having another damaged character. And so you could see
yes.
the similarity between the two, and you could see how it was necessary to survive, but you had to go through certain right. steps.
The movie that the director had done previously, Nicolas Cage, Pig.
Oh, I loved it.
And this guy goes not happy when his prized truffle-snuffing pig, because he's a chef in this, Nicolas
I loved
Cage.
That movie, and I loved another one he did, A Quiet Place.
Oh, A Quiet Place Day One.
Yeah.
It was the last one they did. It was like a prequel to the first set of A Quiet Place movies. Choosing Hugh Jackman for this role of Robin Hood was excellent because it kind of reminded me a little bit, and you brought it up when we saw it, Logan, when the Wolverine.
Yes, right.
And what leads Logan to more maybe redemption was protecting a young girl,
yeah.
which Robin Hood's doing.
Yes.
She's the daughter of Little John, this yeah. little girl. That he teaches to shoot the bow and arrow.
I so admire Hugh Jackman for doing this. Actually, the comic book Logan was 5'2 or 3.
And yes, he was a little kid.
And Jackman is 6'2.
Yes.
And yet they carried it off.
Yes, he did.
And it works even better.
Yeah, but the Wolverine, was like a short man complex. You know, had to prove himself.
What do you advise?
I would recommend it. With the violence of the first half or so of the movie, but then get bored out of their minds, some people. With how slow the second part goes,
yep.
and all the philosophical talks and things like that, stick with it.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, a review I read in Christianity Today, kind of like how the movie was made, but they did not like what they consider euthanasia, mercy killing. You know, he is slowly bled to death, which was back in the Middle Ages and actually
sure.
right up to through colonial America, was supposed to be kind of a healing cure of letting bad blood out, which
I know.
Is a metaphor.
Fits along thematically with
yes.
the ironies here because Sister Bridget, that icon of holiness, is the one who is helping
yes.
his death.
Yeah, but the book that this was based on, the sister was actually, I think, much older, and Robin Hood's aunt or whatever that does that. Basically, not to assist him in the suicide, but to kill him because of all the murders he had done.
Yeah, and she's certainly not Maid Marian.
No.
Well, Wayne Miller, we're at the death of Robin Hood, and I think we've elevated somewhat, made it even mirthful at some point,
yeah.
but we have to agree that the title is a perfect description of what this
exactly.
film is about. Tell me some more. I do want to talk a little bit about Hugh Jackman, but I'm so interested in some of your research on the Robin Hood legend.
Okay, and it's so interesting that you said that Sister Bridget is no Maid Marian, which I really liked was, and I had mentioned it, the 1976 Robin and Marian, and Marian's a nun in that one. Robin Hood comes back after a long time away and older and grizzled, but one reason I like that, the Sheriff of Nottingham, his big nemesis that he fights, Robin Hood does in this movie, was played by Robert Shaw, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, my favorite James Bond movie with Sean Connery and Robert Shaw in a big fight. And I thought, wow, not putting two and two together until recently, that excited me. But just to tell you, and we've mentioned before, both Errol Flynn's 1938, which is really gold standard.
But isn't that a robust romantic take?
Oh, don't you?
I mean, it isn't even close.
Here in the very dirty, gritty Middle Ages, and with dogs eating under the table during all these feasts that they would have, that everybody looks remarkably clean. My all-time favorite Maid Marian was Olivia de Havilland in that. She was perfect for that role, and perfect as it wasn't the sheriff of Nottingham, but an equally bad guy was Basil Rathbone, my favorite Sherlock Holmes, Guy of Gisborne or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And they have a knockdown, drag-out sword duel and reminded me of an earlier one that Flynn and Rathbone had done in Captain Blood.
Didn't one of my favorite ladies of all time play Maid Marian, and this would be from the Avengers?
Oh, Diana Rigg.
Yeah, was
yes,
she?
But
my recollection is,
for
yeah.
It. Yeah. And I'd also mention in the rousing silent film age, Douglas Fairbanks,
yes.
Robin Hood, and of course, he was so good in so many of the ones we've
yes.
seen, like Zorro, a lot of swashbuckling roles that he had. But others I really liked. And boy, it was quite good. Disney, in 1952, did a live-action Robin Hood that was excellent with Richard Todd, a British actor.
Sure, that's right.
That was really quite good. We had talked before taping of TV series in the 50s, The Adventures of Robin Hood with Richard Green. And he did a movie after the TV series ended in 1960 called The Sword of Sherwood Forest. A lot of the titles of some of the lesser-known Robin Hood movies had not Robin Hood in the title, but Sherwood Forest in the title.
Yeah, yeah.
Ones that people would think about right now, definitely in 1991, the Kevin Costner one, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And what really made that movie for me was the Sheriff of Nottingham, played by a gleeful Alan Rickman, who basically reprised his Die Hard film as a smart aleck,
Euro trash.
But then people, 2010, Russell Crowe, with Kate Blanchett as a fetching Maid Marian.
Oh,
here
right.
again,
smart Maid Marian.
Crowe left England, but has come back because of all the bad guys and stuff going on. A lot of people, when I told them about the Robin Hood movie, and they said their favorite one was Gary Elwes. He was in Glory. He was 1993, Mel Brooks, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Uh-huh.
But those are some of the ones. It's lived long and hard, and there's a number of other ones. In 1912, and then again 1916, there were silent Robin Hood movies.
Sure. Yeah, so there's something in our culture that wanted a hero,
right.
and we shaped it for ourselves. And that's why I so much like the one we're doing today, The Death of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
It seems a far more balanced, because you have him doing his kindness at the same time while he
right.
is regretting his actions. Hugh Jackman has just been a great choice.
Yes, here's a guy that's essentially, his beginnings in show business is a song and dance man. He did a great job in that movie about P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. And recently, Song Sung Blue.
Yes, exactly. Let's not forget, and it's kind of funny, one of his roles I really liked and led into choosing a life of goodness was Les Miserables.
Yeah.
That he also sings in that. And Anne Hathaway did a great job in that.
He played John Maljean.
Yes. Bitterness of being falsely thrown into prison, that he's going to do a life of crime and steals. And once again, kind of like a religious bent to it when he steals these silver candlesticks from a priest who lets them have them. You know, but then he meets this like poor little girl, like in both Jackman's Logan and in his Robin Hood, path to redemption, to hopefully a better life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And was a young female child.
And our audience may remember him better for the X-Men, his role as Wolverine in the I thought it was so interesting that his very good buddy Russell Crowe had turned down that role and recommended it to Bryan Singer, the director, recommended Hugh Jackman. That started his career, man.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
But the one thing, too, that about the overall theme of this movie is, I think it was Horace Greeley, the newspaper man in the 1870s, said, you know, when history becomes legend, print the legend. And it could be the other way around.
That's right.
The whole legend of an older person who has all these people who are trying to boost up their own reputation by knocking off this guy.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was much more like some of the old westerns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Unforgiven.
Sure.
You know, with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And even Chang.
Unforgiven is a great... The Eastwood character is not like we knew any former gunfighter to be, going through the same thing that our character here. And then if you look at Jackman's... And look at recently, he did a very, very complimentary Sheep Detectives.
Yes, which I really like to see. I was going. I'll probably go see it by myself. Yeah. I think it's still playing. Because
he plays a kindly shepherd. There's nothing bloody at all in his, and a very, very sensitive, a great role for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Reading mystery stories to the farm animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
That for his own pleasure, not knowing they understand what he's reading.
Did you ever see The Greatest Showman?
No.
Neither one of us did.
And that was his background. And in fact, there was something recently that he was on Broadway for The Greatest Showman, a song and dance type of thing.
Before he became an actor, he was a PE teacher. How about that?
But, you know, he's really a thinking man's idea of hero, because he's tall, he's handsome, strong. He looks like he could really take care of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really liked him, a little-known movie with Nicole Kidman. He plays an Australian cattle rancher. During World War II, it was a big cattle drive.
Oh, right, yeah.
Through the out to this port for...
Was it named Australia? No.
Yes, Australia. Well, and really good. He did a great job in that. As a rough and tumble person who the more refined Nicole Kidman...
Well, Hugh Jackman has a couple of pages of a filmography, so the man is very financially comfortable, yet at the same time, he is the godfather of Rupert Murdoch's two daughters.
Yes, and Murdoch, of course, his family baggage and family things.
He will go over and play with the kids, and his kids will play with him, and I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah, he could have a sense of pathos about him.
Yeah.
That definitely in Logan.
Well, we didn't get a chance to ask Taylor Haygood about Hugh Jackman because he appears in The Prestige.
Yes. Well, definitely. Yes, that's right. Since we talked about The Prestige, we did the show with Tay and his dad.
Well, all right, Wayne Miller, we certainly have lightened up a very dark film.
Yeah, definitely.
For those who like a serious cinema.
Yes.
It is interesting to see how someone can take, like Sarnowski does, and take a legend and perhaps twist it to make it more realistic to the rest of the world. And I appreciate it. That's why so much when we saw it, and we were probably the only ones in the audience.
Yeah. It'd be interesting because we've got some friends, what they think about it.
Yeah, let's ask them this weekend.
Yes, that's right. They may be some of the ones, since they never listen to the show, they have. They would probably get a kick out of the first part, probably finding it too violent, though, but possibly get bored. All the philosophical talks.
Yeah, very reasonable.
But they would like the leopard that's wrapped up like a mummy.
They may not have our sensibility for the darker. They like spectacles. That only means that there's spectacle in this and that there's a way that takes intelligent people such as they and makes them think, well, you know, what would his life really have been like?
Yeah.
And I'm leaning toward this rather than toward Errol Flynn.
Yeah, because, or any of the ones, or even the Costner one, that when they ride out in the sunset, Robin and Marion, you know, to life happily ever after.
Because this
one has a little bit more in common with the Sean Connery.
No, you're so right. And so we have, in effect, resurrect the dead Robin Hood.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to throw my last thought I'll throw out there. I always thought that talking about Connery, Hugh Jackman would make a great James Bond.
He would have. Yeah. He's a little long in the tooth now.
Well, aren't we all?